Gazans, including many women and children, were killed in the regime's attacks during the past 24 hours. The strikes targeted homes, residential neighborhoods, and even air raid shelter. Gaza's health ministry says the attacks have claimed the lives of 44 medical personnel while injuring 70 others. In addition, 23 ambulances have also been targeted in defiance of international regulations. Israel began its deadly onslaught on Gaza on October the 7th. Nearly 3,900 Palestinians have died as a result of the regime's strikes, and over 13,500 others have been injured. The Palestinian Journalists Union says 16 journalists have been killed in Israel's attacks. The regime's bombardment of Gaza has also exacerbated the humanitarian situation there, drawing the UN chief's reaction.
Both of my humanitarian appeals are essential in and of themselves. And to help realize these two appeals, I am calling for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire. For nearly 2 weeks, the people of Gaza have gone without any shipments of food, water, medicine, and other essentials. Civilians in Gaza desperately need core services and supplies, and for that we need rapid, unimpeded humanitarian access. We need food, water, medicine, and fuel now. We need it at scale, and we need it to be sustained.
Guterres was speaking in a press conference in the Egyptian capital Cairo as calls mount for aid to reach 2.4 million people in Gaza. Israel has cut off the supply of electricity, water, fuel and medicines into the territory. Egyptian media, however, say the Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt will be opened on Friday to send relief aid into the territory. The World Health Organization has also called for daily aid flow, including fuel, into Gaza.
Fuel is also needed for hospital generators, ambulances, and desalination plants, and we urge Israel to add fuel to the life-saving supplies allowed to enter Gaza. Our trucks are loaded and ready to go. We're working with Egypt and Palestine Red Crescent societies to deliver our supplies into Gaza as soon as the Rafah crossing is opened.
But one of the most critical items which need to be added to that convoy is fuel. Fuel to make sure these desalination plants can run. Fuel to make sure these bakeries can run. Fuel to make sure that UN partners can actually implement the most essential operations. And fuel to ensure these hospitals can sustain their operations and can sustain lives. So fuel is absolutely a top priority.
The recent bombing of Al Ahli Arab Hospital in the Gaza Strip have drawn international condemnations. Press TV has published a feature story highlighting the details and backgrounds of the attack. The latest factual revelations have prompted many countries around the world to blame Israel for the hospital bombing. However, the Israeli regime is still refusing to take responsibility for the carnage, rather shifting the blame on the Gaza-based Islamic Jihad movement. The resistance group has categorically rejected the Israeli claim. The Press TV report highlights similar Israeli shelling, as well as airstrikes on hospitals, healthcare facilities, and even medics over the past days. The report also gives a brief history of Israeli violations of international humanitarian law by targeting civilian infrastructure and medical facilities. Hamas has fired a barrage of rockets towards the Israeli-occupied territories as it presses ahead with its retaliation for Israel's relentless bombardment of the fully besieged Gaza Strip. Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, say they have targeted Tel Aviv in response to the regime's war crimes against Palestinians. The resistance group also fired missiles at Ascalon in southern Israel earlier today. At least two missiles have reportedly hit Sderot. Sirens also sounded in northern city of Nahariya for the first time. Meantime, Al-Quds Brigades, the military wing of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement, say they have struck an Israeli settlement in the occupied territories. Over 2,000 Israelis have been killed in attacks by the resistance front since October the 7th. Some 4,500 others have also been wounded. The head of the political bureau of the Hamas resistance movement says Israel's crimes against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have revealed the regime's Nazi and fascist nature. Ismail Haniyeh was speaking in a televised speech. He warned that the ongoing Israeli aggression on Gaza could turn into a regional war if the regime's brutal attacks continue. Haniyeh stressed that the way out of the current situation is an end to the Israeli occupation and freedom of the Palestinian people. The senior Hamas official said the world should condemn Israel's crimes and hold their perpetrators accountable at international courts. Haniyeh said the U.S. administration failed to muster international and regional support for the Israeli aggression and make Arab countries accept displacement of Palestinians in Gaza. He called on Muslim nations to hold demonstrations on Friday to demand a halt to Israel's aggression. He also called for more efforts to deliver aid to the people in Gaza, adding that the besieged territory is facing a humanitarian catastrophe due to Israel's Nazi-style brutality. Leila Khaled, the iconic face of the Palestinian cause, she is known as the first woman to lead an airplane hijacking and fighting alongside men for the freedom of a country. Leila says the resistance has existed from the start of the Israeli occupation. Let's take a listen.
You know, the Israelis from the minute they occupied Palestine in 19, also after 1967, the resistance was there, indicted. Even my women, the women in Palestine, they were not starving. They are putting explosives at the stations, and they were sentenced for life. Of course, every action should use all the tactics to promote the revolution, to be nearer to liberation. So in every era of the struggle, you have tactics and you have the strategy. Then in 1987, the Intifada broke out. This is a new stage of our revolution, that the people went to streets to face the army with all its their weapons, but our children were facing also the army of Israel, and it took about 6 years. Unfortunately, the leadership of PLO, led by Arafat, went to negotiations. We were against that, and he was supported by the Arabs also to go for the negotiations and to sign Oslo Accords afterwards. This now, we ended up with the Intifada, who raised the slogan freedom and independence. And if it went back, and if Arafat and his allies, we could have done that, because the army began to shake, the Israeli army. They are following children. Some of them committed suicide. But it was a historical intifada. Even the word intifada was in all languages intifada. Nobody changed it. And that was also another era of liberation movement.
Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah says it has fired guided missiles at an Israeli military base, precisely hitting the desired targets. Hezbollah said the strike on Al-Manara base left at least 10 Israeli soldiers injured. Hezbollah also said it hit several Israeli outposts in the northern occupied territories. This as an Israeli drone bombed southern Lebanon. Earlier today, Israel also carried out airstrikes targeting Hezbollah positions. The movement said two of its fighters were killed in clashes with the Israeli military in the region. Southern Lebanon has witnessed exchanges of fire since the 8th of October, a day after a major Palestinian operation against Israel. The recent clashes between Israeli forces and Hezbollah fighters have left over a dozen people dead. Pakistan is witnessing back-to-back rallies denouncing Israeli atrocities in Palestine. Political leaders, human rights activists, and religious scholars have gathered to once again condemn the regime's bloodshed in the besieged Gaza Strip. Nasser Kazmi reports from Islamabad.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
Anger is boiling in the streets of Pakistan over the United States and Israel. In a fiery expression of outrage, Pakistanis set ablaze the American and Israeli flags, signaling their vehement disapproval of their policies towards the innocent people of Palestine.
Anybody who denies the Holocaust, whether in North America or in Europe, is sent to jail. It is a crime. What Israel is doing is no less than a Holocaust in Palestine.
This is the greatest tragedy that Israeli aggression is being backed by the United States and other Western countries. I think that's the time where the world should protest against what Israel has been doing over the last 50, 60 years.
Political leaders, human rights activists, and religious scholars united in Islamabad for a series of rallies to condemn Israel's actions in Palestine. They marched in the streets and raised their voices to the world to play its role in stopping Israel from killing innocent men, women, and children in the Gaza Strip on a daily basis.
We are here to protest against the Israelis and anybody who's supporting them right now, be it Muslim leaders or America or anybody. And I would like to tell people that the word is not oppression anymore. The word is genocide. They're literally cleansing Palestine by killing their children specifically.
The rallies were marked by passionate speeches and powerful slogans as the diverse group of attendees came together to demand justice and peace for Palestine.
Unfortunately, the organization of the Islamic country is only condemning the action of the Israel. They are not taking any action. I think that they should announce sanctions against Israel. If they are not in a position to impose sanctions on Israel, they should disband the OIC.
The protesters were also calling for Israel to lift the Gaza blockade and reopen routes for humanitarian aid.
These rallies indicate the growing frustration and anger felt by many over continued violence and the lack of international intervention to protect the lives of thousands of innocent Palestinians besieged by Israeli forces. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Russia has lashed out at the United States for vetoing a UN Security Council resolution that called for a humanitarian pause in the Israeli war on Gaza. The Russian Foreign Ministry said Washington's move will have, quote, monstrous consequences. The ministry accused the U.S. of opposing all humanitarian initiatives since Israel attacked Gaza on October the 7th. It said the conflict between Israel and Gaza reflects the failure of the American policy in the region. Russia also accused Israel of carrying out indiscriminate strikes in Gaza under the pretext of self-defense. It said the right to self-defense does not mean having a license for mass and indiscriminate reprisals. China also slammed the U.S. for obstructing the resolution.
China is deeply disappointed that the United States obstructs the adoption of the draft resolution on the question of Palestine by the Security Council. In the face of escalating tensions, the Security Council should listen to the voices of the vast number of Arab countries and the Palestinian people and earnestly fulfill its responsibilities.
Iran has also condemned the U.S. for vetoing the resolution. On Thursday, President Ebrahim Raisi described the U.S. move as, quote, double oppression of Palestinians, saying Washington and Tel Aviv are committing genocide and crimes against humanity in Gaza. The Brazil-sponsored draft resolution was put to the vote during a Security Council session on Wednesday. It called for humanitarian corridors into Gaza. The resolution was backed by 12 countries, but the U.S., which is a permanent member of the council, vetoed it. A military base in western Iraq that hosts U.S. troops has been struck once more by a salvo of missiles and drones. According to local sources, multiple explosions rocked the Ain al-Assad airbase in the Al-Anbar province. The Iraqi military closed the area and started a search operation. There have been no reports of possible casualties and damages yet. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq has claimed responsibility for the attack, saying its missiles hit the American base with precision. This was the third attack in less than 24 hours against U.S. bases in Iraq and the neighboring Syria. Last week, Iraqi resistance groups threatened to target U.S. interests if Washington intervened to support Israel's ongoing attacks on Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The U.S. maintains some 2,500 troops in Iraq and 900 more in Syria under the pretext of fighting terrorism. The United Nations has officially declared the termination of all restrictions imposed on Iran's ballistic missile-related activities and restrictions on the export and import of missile items to Iran. The restrictions were imposed under the provisions of the Security Council Resolution 2231. The Security Council Secretariat confirmed the termination of the provisions in a note to the member states and also in a separate letter to Iran's permanent ambassador to the UN. The provisions were set to expire automatically after 8 years, which fell on October 18, 2023. The curbs affected Iran's missile tests, export and import of missile items, and provision of financial services to Iranian individuals and institutions. Despite the expiration of the UN bans, the United States has announced fresh anti-Iran sanctions, vowing to maintain restrictions on the country's ballistic missile and drone programs. The European Council has followed suit, saying it will take necessary steps to maintain the restrictive measures against Tehran. Iran has denounced the decisions as unilateral and politically unjustifiable, saying they violate the UN Charter. That's it for this hour's bulletin. Thank you for being with us. Take care for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. World leaders, governments and peoples have been outraged by the Israeli regime's massacre of hundreds of Palestinian civilians in a single attack against a hospital in Gaza City. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Authorities, groupings and peoples across the world have expressed sheer outrage at the Israeli regime's massacring of hundreds of civilians in a single attack against a hospital in Gaza City. On Tuesday, 17th of October, at least 500 Palestinian civilians, mainly women and children, were killed by Israeli airstrikes on Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital in Gaza City, amid a relentless war by the regime on the besieged Gaza Strip. The actual death toll could be far higher, since according to the territory's health ministry, hundreds of victims are still under the rubble. The strikes came while thousands of civilians were seeking medical treatment and shelter at the hospital from incessant Israeli airstrikes. The war had already killed thousands of people, including hundreds of women and children. Reacting to the atrocity, the Gaza-based Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas's political bureau chief, Ismail Haniyeh, said the hospital massacre confirms the enemy's brutality and the extent of its feeling of defeat. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah called for a day of rage to condemn the Israeli airstrike, describing the Israeli strike as a massacre and a brutal crime. The office of Syrian President Bashar Assad denounced the atrocity as one of the most heinous and bloodiest massacres against humanity in modern era. The Syrian Arab Republic holds Western countries, especially the United States of America, responsible for this massacre and other massacres, as it is a partner of the Zionist regime in all organized killing operations against the Palestinian people. Saudi Arabia condemned the bloodletting in the strongest possible terms, calling it a heinous crime committed by the Israeli occupation forces. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said, "I call on all humanity to take action to stop this unprecedented brutality in Gaza." Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi issued a statement calling the slaughter a clear violation of international laws. Moussa Faki Mahamat, the African Union's chief, called the Israeli airstrike a war crime. "There are no words to fully express our condemnation of Israel's bombing of a Gaza hospital today, killing hundreds of people," Moussa Faki Mahamat said on X, formerly known as Twitter, calling on the international community to act decisively. "The deadly strikes are totally unacceptable," Volker Türk, the United Nations human rights chief, said, insisting that the perpetrators of this crime must be held to account. Volker Türk, the United Nations human rights chief, said, "Words fail me. Tonight, hundreds of people were killed horrifically in a massive strike at Al Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza City, including patients, healthcare workers, and families that have been seeking refuge in and around the hospital. Once again, the most vulnerable. This is totally unacceptable." The World Health Organization, WHO, reminded that the attack had targeted the facility whilst it was operational, with patients, health and caregivers, and internally displaced people sheltering in the hospital. The hospital was one of 20 in the north of the Gaza Strip facing evacuation orders from the Israeli military. The order for evacuation has been impossible to carry out given the current insecurity, critical condition of many patients, and lack of ambulances staff and health systems bed capacity and alternative shelter for those displaced, the World Health Organization emphasized. Meanwhile, hundreds of angry protesters gathered outside the French embassy in Tunisia following the Israeli airstrike on the hospital, shouting, "The French and Americans are allies of the Zionists." Protesters demanded the recall of both countries' ambassadors and shouted, "No American embassy on Tunisian territory." French President Emmanuel Macron said on Tuesday, 17th of October, that nothing can justify targeting of civilians, and called for humanitarian access to Gaza without delay. "Nothing can justify a strike against a hospital. Nothing can justify targeting civilians. France condemns the attack on the Al Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza, which caused so many Palestinian victims," Emmanuel Macron wrote on X, formerly known as Twitter. The United Arab Emirates strongly condemned the Israeli attack that targeted Al Ahli Baptist Hospital in Gaza Strip, resulting in the death and injury of hundreds of people. The official United Arab Emirates news agency, WAM, reported early on Wednesday. The Palestinian Authority's president, Mahmoud Abbas, said the attack amounted to a heinous war massacre that could not be tolerated, adding that any talks about anything else rather than stopping the war was unacceptable. "Israel has crossed all the red lines. We will not leave nor allow anyone to expel us from there," he added. Palestinian United Nations Ambassador Riyad Mansour, standing with Arab United Nations envoys, said they were all outraged by the deadly strikes on the hospital and blamed Israel. "We condemn this act in the strongest possible term, and we hold Israel responsible for this massacre, this crime, and those responsible for this crime should face justice." The former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said the strike was a war crime and said Washington was indirectly responsible. We'll be right back. Al Jazeera television network has also covered this story and tells us more. Palestinian officials say at least 500 people have been martyred in an Israeli air raid on Al Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza City. The health ministry in Gaza has said the blast at the hospital was caused by an Israeli air raid. Israel has attributed the explosion to a misfired rocket launched by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance group. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad has denied the allegation. As tensions continue to rise, here's what we know so far about the Israeli airstrike. The health ministry in Gaza says at least 500 people were killed in the blast, by far the highest death toll of any single incident in Gaza during the current war between Israel and Hamas. The health ministry in Gaza said hundreds of other victims remained under the rubble. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas said the blast mostly killed displaced people. The Palestinian Authority's health minister, Mai Al-Kaila, accused Israel of carrying out a massacre. Located in central Gaza, the hospital, which is run by the Episcopal Diocese of Al-Quds, was struck while it was overwhelmed with thousands of Palestinians seeking shelter amid a campaign of brutal Israeli air attacks across much of the besieged Gaza Strip. World leaders have denounced the bombing, with leaders from West Asia issuing the firmest statements. Protests have also erupted across West Asia region, including in Jordan and in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, where Palestinian protesters have confronted the Palestinian Authority's security forces. Jordan has cancelled a planned summit in the capital Amman with United States President Joe Biden and various Arab leaders. Jordan's foreign minister, Ayman Safadi, said the meeting would be held at a time when all present could agree to work towards ending the war and the massacring of Palestinians. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, who had also been slated to attend the summit, said he condemned in the strongest possible terms Israel's bombardment of the Gaza hospital. Saudi Arabia also issued a firm statement condemning in the strongest possible terms the heinous crime committed by the Israeli occupation forces, the bombing of Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital in Gaza. Western leaders, such as French President Emmanuel Macron, have said in a social media post that nothing can justify a strike against the hospital, adding that all the light must be shed on the circumstances. Al Jazeera's Imran Khan noted that some observers have questioned Israel's version of events, with some pointing to Israel's history of falsely attributing acts carried out by its own military forces to various Palestinian resistance groups. "We've seen this kind of thing happen before many times on the Israeli side," Imran Khan said. Take, for example, the killing of our colleague Shireen Abu Aghaleh and the initial stages of that report. The Israelis blamed fighters within the Jenin refugee camp for her death. It was only much later on that the Israelis admitted that it was one of their soldiers that killed her.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is a beautiful aphorism from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. Polytheism of certain people is more hidden than the creeping of ants on a black piece of cloth in a dark night.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the purpose of the Prophet's mission. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Holy Prophet, Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I was not sent but to perfect good behavior." If you look at the mission and the goal of the Prophet, the purpose of the Prophet, the teachings of the Prophet, you would see very clearly that in every step of the way, the Prophet encouraged all the humanity to observe good behavior, to perfect their behavior. It's one of the goals of the mission of the Prophet. And why is this perfection of good behavior so important? Brothers and sisters, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to display good behavior, and the Prophet demanded it from us. Second of all, one's behavior speaks for his level of iman. Sometimes, you know, we think that our physical behavior, our dealing with others is one thing and our belief is something else. No, in Islam, our belief is something that encapsulates our entire life. So our belief and our iman, it is a reflection or it is a product of how we deal with others. You know, one of the elements in knowing, engaging our iman is through our actions and our good behavior. And third of all, good behavior attracts others towards the path of Allah, the path of righteousness. Don't we want people to come to the path of felicity and become successful in this world and the hereafter? Well, how do you attract them? Through your good behavior, through your akhlaq. Prophet of Allah said, "Keep on practicing good ethics, because for such Allah has sent me." So one of the missions of the Prophet of Allah is to perfect good behavior across the board. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing one of the multiple and many purposes of the Prophet's mission. And we said one of the purposes of Prophet's mission is to perfect the good behavior amongst all of the human beings, especially the believers, the Muslims. Prophet said, "Keep on practicing good ethics, because for such Allah has sent me."
Now, if you notice, it is said that keep on doing it. It's not a one-time thing. Sometimes we observe good akhlaq in certain conditions, but in another set of conditions, we lose it somehow. So we're not supposed to, you know, fluctuate between good akhlaq and bad akhlaq, right? It is a recurring theme that should be consistent in our life. And under all conditions, even in difficult times, you know, sometimes when the situation is good, we have good akhlaq. But as soon as something happens where the situation is not so good anymore, we lose our temper. We lose our akhlaq. We start to, you know, fight with others. We start to quarrel with others. What Prophet of Allah is demanding us as a lifestyle is a consistent good akhlaq under all conditions. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful, said, "O people, when Allah created men, He wanted them to obtain valuable qualities and noble behavior. He knew that it could not happen except by explaining what is good and what is bad, which in actuality He has explained through religious commands and prohibitions." So this is how Allah informs us what a quote-unquote good akhlaq is and what is not so good akhlaq and bad akhlaq, right? It is through His instructions in the Holy Quran and the instructions He has sent towards us through His Prophet and through the infallible Imams.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Horrendous atrocities on Palestinian soil.
Part 1.
Palestine is of great importance to the world's media because of the events and developments that take place there every day. The Israeli occupation leaves no room for the Palestinians to spend a single day without inconveniences. And it does it through various means of repression, murder, confiscation of land, and desecration of sacred sites. And it makes it look like the Palestinians are the bad guys and the Israelis the good ones. This campaign of deliberate misinformation continued for decades until the day came that the Palestinians could provide a narrative that debunked that of the occupation. Through local media, they reached out to the world, communicating their message, all the while aware of the risks involved.
As we know, there are a number of attempts to control countries by occupying the headquarters of television or the occupation of public broadcasters. Israel was working on this aspect to hit the Palestinian media from the first moment through the creation of fear. These steps have failed as of the start and middle and end of this operation because Palestinian media was ever present, always at the scene. They plan for every upcoming Israeli operation, and the way we can tell something is going on is when Israel starts to attack or bomb the media and bring about fear and confusion.
Israel's branding of itself before the civilized world is a civilized and developed country with a national humanitarian project. I think the Palestinian press has managed and operated first and foremost based on a national theme dedicated dedicated to the homeland and national responsibility. We portray the image as it is. When Israel targets civilians and children, bombards houses, mosques, hospitals, organizations, and besieges an entire people, we inform the civilized and free world about what Israel is doing. O civilized people and free nations, this is what Israel is doing to us.
What distinguished Al-Aqsa Media Channel in this war was the influence it had on the Zionist front. We were able, by the grace of God Almighty, to infiltrate Zionist media channels and broadcast to the resistance. As you know, the Zionist government and media follow Al-Aqsa Space Channel, and this is confirmed by a Zionist analyst. We could enter homes outside Palestine on TV and radio and show how the resistance succeeded. And this got into the minds of the Zionist enemy within their own homes and influence their policies as part of the psychological warfare that took place in the 2014
war.
This is what the Zionist occupation did not want their own people and the people of the world to see, that the Palestinian press has credibility over the news coming out of the Zionist press, which came from statements made by Israeli settlers. They don't have credibility, but the people believe Palestinian media, and this is the fruit of our determination and perseverance.
يعني هذه النظرية لم تأتي من فراغ بل أتت من مثابرة وأتت من تصميم.
The Israeli occupation and its army first tried to keep the media away from the scenes of carnage during the 2014 Gaza war, but when that didn't work, they went after the journalists. Some of the most important facilities destroyed by the Israeli occupation in 2014 were the five Al-Aqsa Media Network facilities.
The headquarters at Burj al-Shuruq Financial Management Office, the offices at the Al-Nasr, and the office you are at now were all targeted, as well as the broadcast center.
We all felt like this was the end of us when the broadcaster was targeted. But we don't believe that we are more important than our children and our homes, and the future of Palestine and our feelings do not shy away from embarrassment. Our purpose is that our message to the people should not be disrupted because we believe they need us every second. We were back on air after a few hours of the attack, which was met with a positive response from the community. The Al-Aqsa Media Network had aired resistance operational information that allowed the Palestinian resistance to defeat a group of Israeli soldiers. An operational failure for Israel was not an option, and so they had to put a stop to the leaking of the truth to the outside world, and then to replace the truth by way of omission or denial.
Repeat with me, Allah the Almighty, Allah the Almighty, Allah the Almighty. No true God but Allah. Al-Qassam brigades have just captured a soldier. Allah the Almighty, Allah the Almighty, praise to be Allah. Let those wounded people at Al-Shaja'iyah rejoice tonight as Al-Qassam brigades captured the soldier.
Those words that prompt me to stand and salute Ez al-Din al-Qassam brigades and the souls of their hero martyrs, I greet you from the heart. This is a victory speech that we have started sharing on this blessed night. All respect and salute is due to the Ez al-Din al-Qassam brigades. We will start commentating after a short interval. Stay tuned.
That which was reflected through this war, that the Palestinian narrative is credible when it comes to news, we were keen about that. When the Zionist enemy said that five people were killed, we would replay the same information, but without exaggeration of such, reporting that in fact 50 were killed, and we believed that the narrative of the resistance that we knew was genuine. When the Qassam Brigade said they killed 8 Israeli soldiers in Nahal Az, we published it, and this was validated by the Zionist enemy later when they were forced to then confess that indeed 8 of their soldiers were killed. We believe the resistance narrative because they are entitled to be believed.
We believe we have a revolutionary privacy that distinguishes us from others. Frankly, we all received threatening letters to the order that several houses of colleagues were pounded with bombs. One of our colleagues in radio was bombed directly by an F-16 fighter jet. This man was a journalist who was not engaging in any resistance but targeted due to his employment.
The Al-Aqsa Media Network was but one of 19 media organizations broadcasting from the Gaza Strip, which were bombed, leaving them partially or totally destroyed. Al-Shaab Radio was one such network building reduced to rubble.
We tried to take with us some devices, such as a transmitter, which is an expensive device that a radio broadcast relies on. I remember at one time, a colleague started to walk upstairs when all of a sudden, an unmanned drone fired rockets at our building. We had to escape the building with no time to take anything with us, not even archives or any electronic device. Conditions were extremely bad when we were leaving, as some were injured due to the panic and stumbling around at 3 o'clock in the morning, seeing nothing in front of them. The tower we worked in after being hit collapsed into debris. When we couldn't grab anything from inside the radio station, we thought we had lost our important archives. We believed we had lost a voice for the people, months of work.
Another Palestinian media organization assaulted by the Israeli forces was a national agency which provides services to local and international TV stations. This particular site was filmed by a surveillance camera while under attack by Israeli warplanes that let fly several missiles which decimated the area, compelling and hard evidence of a war crime.
We were offering round-the-clock coverage of the deadly night, which they targeted more than 30 houses throughout the Gaza Strip. Many people were displaced from their homes in the north and in El Shajaya. We're not targeted as journalists individually, but they bombed our whole building, bringing it down with three missiles. It means the occupation is trying to silence media, audio and images. It's a crime. They want to kill the journalists in one hit. There were 36 journalists inside the building at the time. They targeted the building with no prior warning so that we had no chance to evacuate the building beforehand.
It's natural for journalists to be frightened, cautious, and not want to stay long in places that clearly are a potential target of Israeli missiles. Many evacuated from their news desks and resorted to working out of hotels in their continued efforts to write and prevent their words and video footage from being silenced by the invading Israeli forces.
I come from Khan Yunis city. I had to move to Gaza because of the very harsh security situation. As a journalist, I come to stay in a hotel where I am sure I can provide the needed life and coverage services to the to Press TV. I was injured in the morning. I was attending my work. I was doing this work in an area that is known to be full of journalists from the different media outlets, including some foreign journalists who are doing some live coverage and media coverage in general for some international and regional media channels. This is the area where I was targeted and injured. And where I sustained my injuries, I tried my best to stay awake. I tried my best also to establish what was happening, but it was far beyond my capacity because of the very strong explosion and because of the surprise and because of the injury.
Palestinian journalists continued to deliver audio and video reports during the war that so displeased the Israeli government and military, it issued a statement which Palestinian journalists interpreted as a preface to direct targeting.
What happened is that Israel, prior to targeting the first journalist in the Gaza Strip, Hamid Shahab, through their media office, issued a public statement ordering foreign journalists who had entered the Gaza Strip to go to the beach hotel for sanctuary. We issued an immediate statement telling Palestinian journalists that it meant they were being targeted as long as they were not included in the statement. That was our perception of this.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
After Palestinians die in jail, the Zionist regime often worsens the pain of their families. Hundreds of Palestinian bodies are being held by the Zionist regime. These are the bodies of Palestinians killed directly by the Israeli regime or who died in prison. They are either kept in refrigerators or in the so-called cemeteries of the numbers. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, when Saad al-Amour visited her son Sami in jail during 2021, she did not realize it would be for the last time. Sami appeared relatively well on that occasion, yet his health deteriorated over the next few months. Born with a heart problem, he had high blood pressure behind bars and complained of vomiting and exhaustion. Doctors recommended that he undergo urgent surgery for blocked arteries. The Zionist regime authorities first transported him from one prison to another before eventually taking him to hospital. In November that year, Sami died at the age of 39. Human rights groups have argued that he was a victim of medical negligence. The Zionist regime has retained Sami's body. As a result, his family has been prevented from organizing his funeral. Saad, his mother, has only one wish, to see Sami's body and say a final goodbye before his burial. Saad, 65, said, "I am demanding that my son's body is brought back to Gaza so that I can hug him and visit his grave." Sami grew up in Deir al-Balah area of Gaza. In April 2008, the Zionist regime troops who had invaded Gaza arrested him, along with his brother Hamada. A fighter with Islamic Jihad, Sami was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to 19 years imprisonment. Tamada was jailed for 12 years and eventually released. The Zionist regime treats all resistance to its brutal military occupation of the West Bank and Gaza as terrorism. After Palestinians die in jail, the fabricated regime of Israel often worsens the pain of their families. Hundreds of Palestinian bodies are being held by the Zionist regime. These are the bodies of Palestinians killed directly by the Zionist regime or who died in prison. They are either kept in refrigerators or in the so-called cemeteries of the numbers. Fares Baruch died in an Israeli regime jail in February 2019. He was 51. A prisoner for more than half his life, Fares had been arrested in 1991. He was condemned to life imprisonment for killing an Israeli and injuring three others. 17 years of his jail term were spent in solitary confinement. Fares, born in Gaza City's Beach refugee camp, should have been freed under a U.S. brokered deal from 2013. It was supposed to ensure the release of all prisoners locked up before the Oslo Accords were signed by the Zionist regime and the Palestine Liberation Organization in 1990s. The Zionist regime, however, blocked the release of the final 30 prisoners. Fares was among that group. His mother, Raya Obeid, had prepared for his release. His niece, Tahrir, said she had painted the family home and got a bedroom ready for Fares. She had got new furniture, hoping that he would be freed and would get married. His mother's hopes were never realized. She died in 2017. The Zionist regime has retained Fares' body since his death. Tahrir said the Zionist regime's refusal to release her uncle's body means our family is still going through major distress. Saadi Al-Gharabli died in July 2020 at the age of 75. He had spent 26 years behind the Zionist regime's bars. A resident of Shajaya neighborhood in Gaza City, Saadi was the oldest Palestinian prisoner before his death. He was given a life sentence following a 1994 conviction for involvement in the killing of a Zionist troop. The first 12 years of his imprisonment were spent in solitary confinement. One of his 10 children was killed by the Zionist regime military in 2002. Although he had prostate cancer and several other medical issues, the Zionist regime authorities did not allow his family to visit him from 2001 onward. Since his death, the Zionist regime has kept his body in a cemetery of the numbers. Saadi's son, Assam, noted that being able to hold a funeral for a family member is one of the most basic rights. He said, "It is guaranteed by international law and by religious laws and conventions. The Zionist regime is denying the family that basic right." According to Al Jazeera English, since 1967, when the Zionist regime occupied East Al-Quds, the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, it has arrested an estimated 1 million Palestinians. One in every five Palestinians has been arrested and charged under 1,600 military orders that control every aspect of the lives of Palestinians living under the Israeli regime military occupation. That incarceration rate doubles for Palestinian men. Two in every five have been arrested. By comparison, in the United States, the country notorious for the world's largest prison population, one in 200 people is imprisoned. The imprisonment rate among black Americans is more than three times the overall rate. But even then, it's a tiny fraction of an average Palestinian's likelihood of spending time in jail. Palestinian prisoner rights group Al-Dhamir has described the Israeli regime prison system as a complex of monstrous machinery in form, laws, procedures, and policies designed to lead